Greetings, friends and gentle listeners, and welcome to episode 44 of the Spicer Speaking Podcast, coming to you from idyllic Palm Desert, California, here in the heart of the golf and sporting bosom that is the Coachella Valley, Palm Springs area in peak season. I'm your host, Judd Spicer, four-time award-winning writer, associate member of the Golf Writers Association of America, former ESPN radio co-host, 10.6 handicap here in the new year. Speaking of 2022, this is my first show of 2022. A little holiday hiatus, so I hope your respective New Year's were super fun. I hope your 2022s are off to a happy, healthy, safe, fruitful, and prosperous start. Hope the same can be said for this program as we get a host of new shows underway here in the peak season. January, of course, exciting times here in the desert proper, as we welcome the annual return of the PGA Tour to our fairways. They are en route next week for the 63rd annual playing of the American Express Golf Tournament, and doing so with gusto, friends. The field that has been assembled to date, still got a little time for a few final entrants or commits, but even if nobody else of note happens to be coming out here to play in the Amex, got an awesome field. Covered this tournament for a dozen years. Think it might be the best field I've ever seen. To help assess, to break down, our friend Larry Bohannon of the Desert Sun. He's covered this tournament since 1986. He is my guest today. Of course, none of this would be possible without a trio of super sponsors. That list starts weekly with Perform Better, performbetter.com. No, there's a lot of New Year's resolutions out there. Get yourself fit. Get yourself toned. Take off that weight with all manner of workout gear that you're going to find at performbetter.com. Desert Willow Golf Resort, home of the Mountain View and Firecliff courses, respectively. And of course, the on-site Palm Desert Golf Academy. Make your tee times at desertwillow.com. Some great accolades, by the way, for Desert Willow here to get the year underway. NBC's Golf Pass has recently released its Golfer's Choice Awards. The Firecliff course at Desert Willow tracked at number 2 in all of California and number 24 in the Golfer's Choice Top 50 in the country. An additional accolade came from Golf Week magazine, rather, which charted the Firecliff as number 134 of the top 200 resort courses in the USA. I'll actually be headed there a few days hence. Got a buddy in town. Got double B, Brian Bankey, headed to the desert, his maiden voyage. The first time that he's come out here to visit me. Where else am I going to take him? We're going to go play Desert Willow Golf Resort later this week. Internationally renowned golf photography from brother-sister-sibling tandem of John and Janine Hennebry. You can find their vast portfolio online at the Hennebrys, HennebrysCom. Johnny was my most recent guest to close out 2021. You might remember we discussed his new toy, his new drone. Well, he did send me a picture. Actually, he sent me a video of playing around with that new drone technology. Can't wait to see the fruits of his new labors when those images come out at thehennebrys.com. A couple quick notes, a couple quick hitters before we get to conversation with Larry and get you ready for the Amex. I want to thank our friends over at the Reserve Club in Indian Wells, just up the way. You might remember Alan Stussy. He's the superintendent over there. He was a guest some months back. My guy Michael Kelly, my guy Eric Eby, allowed us on the really special grounds earlier this week for what was a swan song round for our guy Jay Coe. Jonathan Coe from the SCGA. Yes, another previous Spicer speaking guest. He's the guy with whom I've long worked to put out articles for Four Magazine. He's moving out. He's moving up. He's moving away. He's leaving for the USGA, where he received a communications job. And we wanted to get in one more special round. One more round together. We played a lot of golf together, Jayco and I. The Reserve was a perfect place to do it. Very generous to let us out over at the Weisskopf-Moorish Design. And we had a great time. We also won. We were undefeated as a tandem. Now we need to take our dominance to the East Coast with Jayco moving to New Jersey. Want to wish him all the best. Great guy, young guy, smart guy. He's going to bang it up with the USGA. One more note for you, friends. Remember a mention of AB 672? Talked about that a few times. Essentially, it's a bill, two-year bill, now in the latter year in the California legislature. Well, it's back. And on the day this program is released, this bill is going to be presented for hearing. And as prefaced, as advertised, this bill has come back more fine-tuned, more refined, whatever word or phrase you want to use. It's more powerful. And essentially, this bill wants to turn municipal golf courses into a land for public housing. And they're doing so with, I guess, what can be described as more carrots. Basically, they've got grants for what is being described as local agencies. I can deduce that to public money for cities to sell these muni golf courses. And really, the affordable housing is but a part of what these lands would be redeveloped for. Only a portion needs to be used for public housing. There seems to be some fuel, there seems to be some gas, some momentum, some support behind this bill, which of course we want shot down. Over 20% of golf in California is represented by municipal golf. This thing would have many hurdles, a couple of them pretty substantial to be able to clear to become a law. But we'll find out what happens this week if it clears the first of those hurdles. If you don't want it to, and I really hope you don't, we don't want to lose our muni golf courses. Go on scga.org. They make it super easy for you to basically copy-paste a letter and to locate your state representatives. I've done it several times. It takes about 5 minutes. You just type in your zip code, tells you who your representative is. You copy-paste this letter, and you tell them that you want them to oppose AB 672. With that, friends, and before we get to Larry, let's get to this week's opening image. Opening image, of course, is brought to you by Hennebree Photography. You can find them online at TheHennebrees, HENEBRYS.com. And you know, dudes, the NFL regular season, or should I say, the longest NFL season ever, it's now in the books as far as the scheduled play. This week, we endeavor the road, the long road to the 56th playing of the Super Bowl, which will be hosted by SoFi Stadium, slated for Sunday, February 13th in L.A. And I don't know about you dudes. I mean, even despite what was such a unique, mind-boggling finish to the NFL regular season, super entertaining at that, even that Raiders-Chargers game considered, I don't know about you guys, I'm a bit over footballed. NFL, of course, enhanced its season by a week this year, going to 17 games in 18 weeks, and now we've got the super wild card weekend. 2 days weren't enough. We've now got Saturday, Sunday, Monday upcoming of games this week as the playoffs get underway. And along with asterisks, oh man, I can never pronounce that word. You know what I mean. Along with those abounding for seasonal and franchise records, may I point out, according to my less-than-beautiful mind math, that, by the way, a 1,000-yard rushing or receiving year, it really means nothing anymore. It means a guy averages about 58 yards a game. I don't know, that doesn't sound very good to me. Stats aside, on this end of the gridiron, I'm kind of checked out. Sure, I'll hypocritically get back in the huddle for the respective conference championship games and then the Super Bowl. But for now, yeah, feeling a little over-footballed. Save for the gamblers and the league's own revenues, I'm not really sure how or what or whom this extra week served. I mean, the same can be said for the continued spread of game days, which are now seemingly ceaseless. The NFL battling for your eyeballs is undoubtedly intent on enhancing quantity over quality, and along the way, giving you football, 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 until it kills its golden goose. Yes, COVID has played part in scheduling or reschedules this year a little bit, and the issue is among several for which the league could, or at least certainly should, reassess its handling. But just consider this, that between weeks 15 and 18, just looking at the window of December 16th through January 9th, there were, in that window of 25 days, there were NFL games played on 13 of those days. What used to make pro football special was the distinctiveness of making us wait, namely, for one special day of the week. That particularity, is no more. Additionally, in my personal field of interest, I guess I'm starting to wonder, to review, to question, personally, can I invest much more time in a Minnesota Vikings team that has never won a Super Bowl and has just 5 playoff wins this millennium? Can I, a 46-year-old guy, invest more time in fantasy football? I've now played for 30 years, and sure, I've got a handful of titles to show for that, but have I served enough time as faux GM? Can I keep justifying to my girlfriend that, like, every Sunday for 4-plus months is basically spoken for? That we shouldn't make alternate plans for said sacrosanct day? That she should suffer me throwing pillows and shouting at the telly and telling the dogs to quiet down? And is she starting to give me a peripheral hairy eyeball for all of this, or am I just being paranoid? Or maybe feeling a little guilty about over-footballing our household? Can I personally, I don't know, can I continue to support these modern-day gladiators basically killing themselves for our entertainment? Sure, it's their choice to play, and yes, they're compensated handsomely for their vocation. Nobody forced them to be there, to be these play pieces on a fuzzy green chessboard until the game ends and we can conveniently move on to the next game, the next play piece, and never really spend much time considering, even still, that brain-addled men like Dave Duerson or Junior Seau, that they shot themselves in the chest because of their brain injuries? Nah, we don't like to talk about that. I'm sure Shinola, the NFL, doesn't want to remind us that's ever happened. Can I personally, I don't know, can I continue to support a league, a sport that is seemingly sans morals when it comes to, say, Aaron Rodgers or Antonio Brown this year? The former, even in his educated, beachy way, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he's a confirmed liar, an unquestioned narcissist who received but a slap on the wristband for playing with the health of his friends and peers, but who is nevertheless consistently lauded for his on-field skills and guile, and who has become an omnipresence on our televisions from game shows to actual games to commercials between each. And the latter, Antonio Brown, well, he's a man who's clearly sick. He's ill. His mental health, or lack thereof, has become a matter of meme instead of serving as a crucial cry for help. We need not revisit his pattern of concerning behavior over the past, say, 5 years, but as for his most recent team, the defending champion Tampa Bay Bucks and their golden boy NFL face man Tom Brady, well, let's not forget that they gave Brown what was seemingly a one-strike deal and kept him on the roster even after he blew said strike with a fake COVID vaccination card because half of their offensive core was injured, and then briskly cut him loose after he evidenced to a stadium full of fans in the sporting world beyond that he has been, is, and will be on a path of clear personal self-destruction, whether he dons a football jersey or not, and they just kind of tossed him into the ether. And then again, friends, according to a Sports Business Journal report which came out in recent days, last year in 2021, NFL football games accounted for 75 of the nation's 100 most-watched television programs. So maybe you're with me on these thoughts, Or perhaps, according to those numbers, more likely, I'm alone. Though, in the words of J.J. Geddes, isn't everybody?
All right, friends, as prefaced at the onset of this maiden voyage of 2022 of the Spicer Speaking Podcast, the big week is nearly upon us. The 63rd annual playing as a PGA Tour event of the American Express, here to assess, deduce, predict, educate, inform, is the right man. He's been covering this event and many, many others for the Desert Sun since back in 1986. Welcome back to the program, our guy, Larry Bohannon. Larry, Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year to you, and happy to be back covering the American Express. This will be my 36th year covering it. And I'm very glad to see that we'll be back with concerts and with fans this year.
Those are a couple of the things that we're looking at, and we will certainly discuss after what happened last year. Obviously, the tournament was able to be played, although several health and safety concessions made along the way. Moreover, we don't want to bury the lead, man. I think this is my 12th year covering the event, so I've got some catching up to do for you. But you know, it's been a number of years following this thing, covering this thing, and I don't know if I've ever seen a field quite this enticing. I'm just going to preface one more thing. I think it was a couple weeks ago, the media day, 3 weeks ago, something like that, when you and I played together, along with Todd Leonard, of course, had ourselves a fine time on the stadium, and there were but few player announcements made on that day. Obviously, as mentioned on this program, Tony Finau, he joined via Zoom or some video effect, and there were a couple other announcements. Obviously, tournament host Phil Mickelson, Scottie Scheffler was among those announcements. I feel like there's somebody else that I'm perhaps...
Siwoo Kim, the defending champion.
The defending champion. Thank you, Siwoo Kim. But I remember saying to you during our round subsequent, if almost verbatim, I was like, you know, man, they didn't really announce... I mean, those are great names, but they didn't like lay out a full field of here are 10, 12, 15 guys, even if they were past champions. The weeks since, however, have been pretty electric, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think they knew that some of these guys were going to come to the tournament this year, but you can't say that until there's an official commitment through the PGA Tour. They felt all along that John Rahm, the number one player in the world, the past winner here in 2018, was going to be in the field. He had planned on being in the field last year and had to kind of pull out with a little bit of a tweak to a muscle the week of the tournament at a gym. So they felt that he was going to be here all along. They felt that Patrick Cantlay was going to be in the field. You know, he finished second last year, shot that electrifying 61 on the stadium course on Sunday. And so they always felt that he was going to come back. And then, you know, some names that have played here before, but have become bigger names, as their careers have gone on. Cantlay is certainly one of those names, but Abraham Answer, who's here's your trivia question for the day, who's the only player to finish in the top five in this tournament the last 2 years? The answer is Abraham Answer. So he's in the field. You know, you've got Jason Day coming to the event for the first time, former major championship winner. Justin Rose is back in the field for the first time in a couple of years. So it's actually a very good field. Francesco Molinari, another major champion who almost won a British Open and then should have won maybe the Masters the next year. Some guy named Woods won it instead. But so there's a lot of very good appealing players in this field this year. And as of this moment, as we're talking, there are 13 of the top 50 players in the world. And for a regular PGA Tour event, with a few exceptions. 13 out of 50 is pretty good.
That's a metric that, following your coverage on an annual basis, that I think excites you. That is one that seemed to qualify for you as, this is a good field, this is a great field, this is kind of a blah type field. You like having those guys in the top 50. I know Siwoo Kim is right on the verge of that too.
Yeah, I think it's a measure of how good the field is now. You could have, well, Davis Love is in the field this year, Davis Love the third. He's going to be the president's cup captain, so he may play a little bit more this year to get to know some of the guys a little better, talk to some of the guys. I don't know that anybody's excited about Davis Love being in the field now. He would have been excited 15 years ago when he was a top 50 player, a top 20 player, a top 10 player, really. So I think top 50 is a good measure of how hot your field is now, as opposed to what it was like a year ago or 5 years ago.
A few other names that I've yet to mention. Of course, SoCal native Ricky Fowler is in the field. That's always good, let's face it, for the fans and name recognition. Rising stud Will Zalatoris, rather, is in the field. And just within hours preceding this chat, a couple other really cool names. I like the depth that's also coming together. Matthew Wolf, SoCal guy, and another California guy, Cameron Champ. He won at the 3M last year. I think he has two PGA Tour wins to his name. So along with the stars and with the highlights, to use the word again, I like the depth, because if a guy, you know, it's getting to be one of those fields where if Matthew Wolf won, would he be the favorite? No. But would you be shocked if he won? No,
of course not. You know, I think this tournament kind of goes up and down. Sometimes you get these winners who are about 120th on the money list. Siwoo Kim was that way last year. But you can't look at Siwoo Kim and say, well, what's he doing winning here? He'd won the Players Championship already. And I think that there are winners like John Rahm, who we knew, let's be honest, we knew he was going to be a great player. And then you've got the Adam Long and Hudson Swafford type winners, who are a little bit of surprise, but are legitimate top 125 guys. And the depth on the PGA Tour now is so deep, so strong, that anybody who's in a field can't really be surprised. You certainly would love to have, you know, Sunday roll around and have Cantlay and Rahm and maybe Mickelson in a field, you know, in the top six, seven, eight. But again, Matthew Wolf, Cameron Champ would certainly be one of those guys.
Yeah.
Will Zalatoris is the rookie of the year this last year. Scottie Scheffler has got to win a tournament at some point.
Totally.
He's so good. Ryder Cup player this year, as a matter of fact. So the depth is very, 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 very good.
And for me, speaking of the metrics, I mean, mentioning the Ryder Cup and the international teams, that's one that always kind of blows my hair back, is how many President's Cup guys, American or international, how many Ryder Cup guys do you have in the not-too-distant Ryder Cup past that are in your field? That, you know, it's a global game now more than ever, and that means that you have a global field. And yeah, we have a lot of members of both teams.
Yes, and I think, you know, the LPGA gets a lot of credit for being a global tour. But the truth of the matter is, if you're good as a male player anywhere in the world, you're trying to get to the PGA Tour. And you want to be here to play against the best on a week-in, week-out basis. Again, Francesco Molinari has kind of been on and off here, but he's played here actually quite a bit over the last 10 years. And so, you know, he's a good example of Abraham Answer, Mexican star. Okay, he's born in Texas. But, you know, there he would be a member of a President's Cup team, not the U.S. team,
right,
but the international team. Canadian players, Australian players, they're all around the world. And, of course, the number one player in the world, even though we all think of him as being from Arizona State, he's from Spain. And he splits time and plays both on the PGA Tour and the European Tour.
Not to cut you off, but let's stick with Rahm for a second. Obviously, he's played in this tournament. I want to call it three times. He's had great success back in 2017, when I think was technically his rookie year still, believe it or not. I mean, that's still how young he is.
Yeah.
Tied for 34th in his debut in the event. Won the next time around in a playoff over future champion Andrew Landry.
Right,
and then came back
four holes.
And then came back the next year and finished solo sixth. I mean, it's kind of lame or lazy or whatever to pick the chalk to win your tournament, but there's absolutely no reason to pick against John Rahm coming back this year and winning this thing. And as an aside, what we saw from him last week after basically being on the couch or whatever he was doing since the Ryder Cup, hadn't played since the Ryder Cup, went out and didn't win the tournament, but set a PGA Tour record for the second best cumulative score ever in the Century Tournament of Champions, obviously losing to Cameron Smith. But if he can do that, what do you think he's going to have now, another week off and then come back out here? I think he's going to light it up, man.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's one of several players who have talked about at the end of the Ryder Cup or the end of that cycle into September and the FedEx Cup and all that stuff, that they just needed some time away. You know, the last couple of years have been pretty tough on guys. I know. Let's not be too sorry about guys winning $7-8 million a year playing golf. But, you know, they've had to deal with probably more protocols and more testing and COVID-related things than almost anybody else. Athletes have done that more than us as general people. And they just took a lot of time off. Patrick Cantlay talked about that as well. And then to see them show up first time out of the gate in 2022 and have Rahm play so well and have Cantlay play pretty right. well as well. You go, wow, what are they going to do on these golf courses? Now, admittedly, they didn't have much wind in Hawaii, which is a surprise. And the greens were a little soft because they had some rains. But hopefully we won't have any rain here and the greens will not be soft and they'll be firm and perfect. And the scoring is low here anyway. So we're going to see some lights out scoring, I'm sure.
I'm kind of anticipating that as well. We could talk about the names in the field for several hours, and we definitely will in person next week. But one other that I want to mention, only because you and I have talked about this over the years, I want to talk about Jason Day for just a minute, in that he has a local connection. He is wintered out here. I believe he's an honorary member at the Vintage Club for a long time. I've seen him over at the Vintage Club. There have been sightings of Jason Day, a little bit younger Jason Day, in the winter season over at COD. At the COD driving range, literally sitting on the grass with his wife and his child. So he's been out here. The dude's been out here for a long time, hanging around the desert, playing in the desert, practicing, but he's never played in this tournament before. That makes me so curious.
He comes out here. A lot of guys come out here in the winter months to work on their games, to get them sharp for whenever it is that they choose to start playing. Jason has always chosen to start playing at the Farmers Insurance event at Torrey Pines in San Diego the following week. So apparently somebody this year slipped him a map and said, here's a way to get from the Vintage Club to PGA West. And he's decided that he is going to start his year here. It is kind of puzzling to say, well, you come here to play golf because the weather's great, the courses are great, the conditions are great. Well, here's a chance to do that and make some money, you know? So, and what you hope is a guy like that will show up and play well.
Yeah.
And say, hey, you know what? I can do this next year too. Some guys, you know, last year, a good example, Brooks Koepka, had not played here. He did come and play. Some people say it's because there was no Pro-Am last year. Some people say that didn't have anything to do with his decision to play. He got off to a decent enough start. Unfortunately, he missed the cut, and it's not back this year. So you would like to see a guy like Jason Day, a guy like Justin Rose,
right,
come here, play well, make the cut. Ricky Fowler hadn't played here for a long time. Last couple of years he's played, made the cut. Tony Finau hadn't played here a long time. Last couple of years he's had a chance to win, actually. And so you want to, if they play well here, they're more likely to come back here.
One more on the names in the field. I mean, I think I already had my pick, and again, maybe it's lame to pick the chalk, but there seems to be no reason why John Rahm shouldn't win our tournament next week. As far as somebody else, I mean, look, Tony Finau was one of the first names. I've personally, if you go back through my Twitter feed over the years, I probably ripped on Tony Finau a dozen times for never being able to close.
Yeah.
And he changed that last year. And of course, he won a playoff event as well. He would be my choice for the biggest chaser to Rahm. Is there somebody else that you got that you think is going to give Rahm a run?
Well, it's hard to get away from the idea that Patrick Cantlay is going to play well. He might not shoot 61 again. But I think, you know, this is the reigning PGA Tour Player of the Year. And I think he's certainly somebody who broke through last year, 3 wins. Could have been a 4th one here. That's a big year on the PGA Tour now. So he'd be somebody, but I would really be fascinated to see if maybe this is the year. Could a 51-year-old guy go to La Quinta on Thursday and shoot 63 and put himself into the mix all week? You know, Phil Mickelson's not going to go to a lot of PGA Tour events these days and contend. He's great on a senior tour. He's great on certain events, and maybe he can muster up 4 great days at the PGA last year. But this is a golf course, series of golf courses, a tournament he could play and potentially win. But the guy I really am going to focus on early, I think, is Ricky Fowler.
Okay.
I think this could be the year that Ricky gets back into the winner's circle. It's been a tough couple of years for him. He showed some signs last year. And like I said, you know, he's played decently here the last couple of years. I think he was 10th 2 years ago. I think he was 21st last year. You could see him putting together a good run and then finding himself Sunday in the mix and seeing if the old juices start to flow again.
Friends, you're tuning into episode 44 of the Spicer Speaking Podcast. Larry Bohannon of the Desert Sun. He's been doing it there since 1986. He is my guest. We're getting you prepped and previewed for next week's return of the PGA Tour, the 63rd annual American Express. Couple more for you today, Larry. And again, look forward to being out there with you next week, contributing to the newspaper's coverage. I mean, over the years that I've had the pleasure of watching you work, watching how you cover tournament golf. You've taught me a lot, man, about the right way
to
wrong
get out of journalism.
Say again?
Did I teach you to get out of journalism?
You never taught me that valuable lesson, but no, you've taught me a lot of things about how and how not to cover tournament golf over the years. And it's one of my favorite weeks and times of the year to sit there by you and some of the other fellas, but just to see how you do it, to learn from you, to watch how you work, man.
I had to learn that myself. Trust me, the first year I covered this was 1987, and it was the year that the stadium course was first played, and nobody had taught me how to deal with angry players, and they were all angry that week.
Well, we're looking at a forecast of ample sunshine and, as you said, probably some super low scoring next week. So I trust we'll see some smiling faces outside of our own. Speaking of the Desert Sun and DesertSun.com, where you can follow all this coverage. By the time this episode comes out, you will have a new piece in the paper. I think the general listener will be particularly interested in this. It's not particularly golfy. However, it does deal with attendance and some problems we saw a few years ago. I can't remember which concert that was, man. Was it the Stevie Nicks concert?
It was the Stevie Nicks concert, the Friday night concert in 2020. And they sold somewhere between 18 and 19,000 tickets that night. But they estimate that about 25,000 people showed up for the concert because so many people drove into PGA West to see their friends at their homes and just wandered down without a ticket. And there were some major traffic issues trying to get out. There were people who were stuck in their car in a in the main tournament parking lot for up to 2 hours.
A couple hours.
And I think that, you know, as Patrick McCabe, who's the executive director of the tournament, said, the next day they started working on how to fix that. And then they didn't have to worry about it last year because there were no concerts because of COVID and there was
and no
pro-am and there were no fans. but they do have a new plan this year. It involves not having just one exit out of the parking lot. It involves having three. It involves making sure that cars that drive into the residential area at PGA West cannot come back out onto PGA Boulevard, which is the extension of Jefferson into PGA West. They will have to go out Madison exits. And they're convinced that they will have much smoother flow of traffic as people go directly onto Jefferson or directly out to 52nd through the Silver Rock property or the Talus property, whatever they're calling that these days.
Yeah.
It will also, I think it will also help that they're anticipating fewer people simply because we are still in a COVID world and there are people who won't want to be in a large crowd, a couple of thousand people, 10,000, 12,000, 15, whatever, that people will be required to show proof of vaccination. Or at least a negative test within 72 hours.
Right.
I think we saw at the BNP Paribas this year in October, the tennis tournament, that the requirement of a vaccination card, evidence of vaccination, cut down on the crowd.
That's one way to put it.
I think that'll be, so I don't think they'll have 25,000 people out there. I still think they'll have pretty good crowds. It's Maroon 5 on Friday night and then Brad Paisley on Saturday night. So I still think they'll have good crowds, but I think that the plan will help to alleviate that traffic jam from 2 years ago.
I'll kind of segue lastly of a few things you just said. Yeah, the purchase of any ticket, you gain access to the concerts. And as Larry said, it's Maroon 5 on Friday after play, and then Brad Paisley Saturday after play. Both concerts take place at the PGA West driving range and have been big success in the past, save for the traffic snafu that we saw a couple years ago. And it's good to hear that they have a new plan because that traffic problem was legit. You also mentioned the BNP, and I kind of laughed at that because I think I either sent you a picture or I showed you a picture of attending the BNP, and I know I talked about it herein a few times about like total tumbleweeds. And there are a few reasons for that. I mean, it was in October and there's a lot of competition for other sports and this is not the peak season, but now we are in the peak season and there is the timing of this event. There is not as much competition necessarily for sports, but I gather that, yeah, some of the lack of attendance at the tennis tournament in the fall was because of what you just said, a negative test within a few days or so of attending or entering the grounds, or now proof of vaccination as well, probably held for whatever people's reasons want to be. We're not going to get into that, but it probably did hold some people back. You mentioned Pat McCabe. Have you had any chats with Pat, or have you have any sense of how they're doing for ticket sales, maybe because of those specific health and safety protocol reasons?
I think they accept the idea that they're not going to have as many people as they had 2 years ago. On the other hand, any ticket they sell this year is one more ticket than they sold last year.
Yeah.
So they're very happy to have that back. I think they're very happy to have the concerts. They think people will show up. But they do understand that by requiring proof of vaccination or a negative test, there will be some people who will not want to bother, frankly. As for the concerts, you know, again, if you have 15,000 people out there, there will be some people who will not be comfortable in that situation right now. I think the BNP was hurt by a couple of other things. There were travel restrictions at the time. That's true. Very much a global event in terms of the crowd that shows up. And you didn't see as much of that, I think, this year. I think they were also hurt by the fact that some of the big stars on the men's side in particular did not show up for that tournament in October. There was no Djokovic. There was no Nadal. There was no Federer.
Serena.
You know,
the list goes on for that deal.
So I think they were hurt by a lot of things. I think Pat McCabe and the people at the city of La Quinta and the people at the American Express are very excited about their field, and think people will come out and support the tournament again, given a chance that they didn't have last year. So, but will they have 25,000 people at the concerts? I think that's asking a tremendous amount, but I think they'd be happy with 15.
Ultimately, however many people go to the concerts, however many tickets they sell, I know that you'll be there. I know that I'll be there. I know that we're both enthused, again, to bring it back to the beginning, both enthused to cover what looks to be a really, really compelling field. Should be a very interesting week, and especially weekend, as this thing comes down to the wire with a lot of birdies at the American Express this year.
And you got to remember, this is going to be the first tournament since the 2020 American Express where we've had fans in the desert. We've played two ANA Inspirations, now the Chevron Championship, without fans. We played the American Express last year without fans. So the idea that we can get people back on the golf course watching the best players in the world play is an exciting thing.
Look forward to being there and learning more from you at the 2022 Amex next week, my friend. Catch Larry's coverage at the Desert Sun or desertsun.com, but subscribe, get a subscription to the newspaper. Thank you so much for the time, my man. I will see you out there on the grounds of PGA West and beyond next week.
We'll see you then.
Thanks, Larry. All right, folks, it's going to wrap us up for episode 44 of the Spicer Speaking Podcast. So appreciative of your time, your interest, your ears, your support of this endeavor as we turn a page on a new year. It's going to be a great year. So thankful for the time of Larry Bohannon of the Desert Sun. If the musical acts didn't get you jacked for this year's return of the PGA Tour for the big week in the desert, I hope and trust that that visit with Larry sealed it up for you, that you're going to go, that I'll see you out there. You're going to get some tickets. I'm personally very, very enthused to contribute yet again to the Desert Sun newspaper, cover the 63rd annual Amex in a really stellar field. Of course, none of this would be possible without three awesome sponsors for this program. Perform Better, performbetter.com. Said it at the onset, I'll say it again. We're in January. It's a new year, a lot of New Year's resolutions. You want to get fit, want to shed some pounds, want to get a few workout items for your home gym, you want to build or outfit or finish an entire gym. You can do all of that and much, much more at Perform Better. Check it out at performbetter.com. Should also mention that we eventually turned the page to February of 2022. Of course, we have the Winter Olympics. The tentacles of Perform Better, their contacts, Rob LaSorsa, run so deep through the sporting world. Already hard at work here in the Spicer Speaking Podcast, securing some fun Winter Olympic guests.
Desert Willow Golf Resort. Get your tee times online. Schedule your lessons for the Palm Desert Golf Academy. That's on site. You can do it at desertwillow.com. As noted, enthused to be getting out there this week, a few short days away from around at the Mountain View course. Double B, he's going to be in town. Check it out for the first time. I think the Shooter is also playing with us. Yeah, you know the Shooter, Charlie Walters. Former Twin, longtime scribe for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He's out here in the desert proper for a winter stretch. I think he's playing with us too, along with my old man, who did take the title from me the last time that we played. I'll need to earn that back when we get out at Desert Willow. Internationally renowned golf photography from John and Janine Hennebry. Find them and their vast portfolio of international and domestic courses at the Hennebrys, HENEBRYS.com. Hey, maybe you're a golf course owner. Maybe you're an operator. Maybe you're the GM, the director of golf, the head super. You need some fresh images. You need some new photography for your golf course. Why don't you hire the Hennebrys? They've been doing it for a long time. They're experts. They're world class. Get in touch with them via their website. Again, that's thehennebrys.com. Everybody have a great week out there. Next week's a big one. Going to have a good guest for you next week. A player to be named. The proverbial player to be named. Still working on which Amex player I'm going to get. But again, readily looking forward to covering the event for the Desert Sun and providing some fun coverage for you, gentle listeners. Until then, be safe out there. Thanks again for tuning in, and be well.